This is the Jeff Budke Podcast, covering your Northwest teams and sports around the Western Hemisphere.
Classic move. How can I really screw the Clippers before I leave? I'm going to give Del Negro an extension.
Oh, this is good. This is good podcasting.
Was picture perfect.
I'm leaving that in there. I'm not cutting that out.
Should I just keep going?
Yeah, keep going.
Okay.
I won the PBR challenge for us, remember?
I do remember that. You beat the pregnant woman.
But, I mean, how else can we replace Prince Billa?
Kirk Heinrich's back.
Oh, they got the teen kid from Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
Why aren't we reading Nate Robinson out loud?
Welcome to the pod, everyone. Trevor and I are in rare form tonight, talking some NBA, going into a huge, monumental, like, earth-changing movie series that we're going to be doing. It's going to be great.
It's going to be huge.
This is called a podcast tease. You'll find out more about that at the end of the show. We're starting today with nicknames.
Mm-hmm.
Nicknames in sports. They're not good right now.
Mm-mm.
They're not very good right now. The reason I bring this up is because Greg Zuerlein is the kicker for the St. Louis Rams, and he has two nicknames right now.
Mm-hmm.
His initials are Jeezy. He goes by Young Jeezy sometimes. Very good. Very funny nickname.
That is good.
There's a rapper named Young Jeezy, but he's also called Legatron.
Yeah, it's better.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, Megatron's great, but the Legatron? That's original.
It's really good. I mean, we can't take away from Calvin Johnson as Megatron, because that is a great nickname.
But that's not a nickname. That's a persona that he is, you know, that's who he is.
But that's kind of part of what the sports nicknames are, I feel like. You get the name, but that becomes who you are. Magic Johnson.
Like the Nigerian Nightmare from, he played with, at Oklahoma. I don't know what his real name was. it's just a part of who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And Legatron is so great.
Legatron is great.
Are there any other nicknames right now in the NBA that can match that?
Well, I feel like the NBA has gone through this stretch recently where it's going for the nicknames are more like your initials and your
KD,
number.
KD Trey.
Yeah, or you know, D12 for Dwight Howard, CP3 for Chris
what your
Paul.
Twitter handle is?
Yeah, it's like, or LBJ for LeBron, you know, like King James, obviously, is something he goes with. But there's nothing really strong right now, even though there's an interesting personalities that, you know what, the one that really, really needs to happen? James Harden, why is he not Rasputin? Like, I've been cheering for this for a long time.
The beard isn't good enough. He needs to have... the beard could be anybody.
Right.
But Rasputin, you should know.
Right. And people have had beards throughout the history of the NBA. And, like, looking back, historically, people are going to think, oh, that was funny. But they're not going to realize how monumentally, you know, culturally significant that beard was at this moment. Unless he had a nickname like Rasputin.
That would really take him to the next level.
Yeah.
Speaking of next level, let's start this podcast the way everyone expects we will.
Mm-hmm.
The New Orleans Hornets.
Right.
A National Basketball Association team. They are in the NBA.
They get paid.
They get paid to play basketball. Last night, put in a healthy 62 points.
They were starting the unpaid interns. For
I don't know who, like you said, who was the leading scorer? You looked
it up. Al-Fariq Aminu?
I don't know who that is.
10 points. Played for Wake Forest.
How many fantasy basketball points was that, like? So did he get any other stats, or was it just 10 points?
I doubt it. They could not have been assists.
It's physically impossible there would have been that many assists to give out.
It's pretty incredible to me as well that the 76ers only scored 77 points.
Because
77 points, you're usually losing that game by 15 points in the NBA.
I'm going to give New Orleans a little bit of a break. Eric Gordon was out. Anthony Davis was out. Mm-hmm. Austin Rivers was out. They're three best players.
Right.
They had 52 points in the game with 2:50 left. So just under 3 minutes. That's a Heat halftime score if they're struggling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't blame the Sixers for only having 77 points. There's no way anyone played in the fourth. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
You know what's the best way to get rallied up? You just get like, hey, we're on national TV. Let's really show our home fans that we can do it. And to lay an egg like that.
How long do you think it would take you and I to score 62 points on an NBA court by ourselves without anyone there?
Do we get three other teammates? Is it our record?
You get
team?
No other teammates. Oh. No, just like alone in the gym by yourself.
Oh, and there's no defense.
Yes. That's what I'm wondering.
62. Okay, the threes are really far away in the NBA. I still think it would take about...
You got to go back and forth, though.
Okay.
You were running the court.
And
it would take me less than a quarter, I'd hope.
There's no way it could take less than that. I'm just trying to be fair and say, like, oh, 15 minutes, but there's no way.
No, no. That's really bad.
Are the Hornets the worst team in the NBA? I think I can say that even when they're healthy, they just don't look good.
No, they haven't really had anyone excel at any level.
And I think about a team like the Wizards, they look fine.
Yeah.
I don't think about them in an embarrassing way.
Yeah.
Pistons look a little bit better this year.
The Bobcats look okay. Yeah.
Kid Gilchrist.
MKG.
I can't say that I've watched them,
mm-hmm.
but I know they're playing better.
Right. Kemba had 30 points their opening night. Yeah, I think it's safe to give the Hornets the worst team in basketball right now, especially without those guys playing. I think if they play together a little bit throughout the course of this season, they could get better, but pretty bad.
Before our last podcast, the news had broke that Rasputin had been traded mm-hmm. from Oklahoma State to Houston.
Right.
With the NBA League Pass free trial that I can afford, I was able to watch a couple games. I don't know if you were able to watch James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
What have you thought about the new look Rockets one weekend? I mean, it's early, but it's been fun.
I'm a fan. I know we talked about this last week on the podcast, what we projected for them, but the two-guard lineup with Jeremy Lin and James Harden, both really aggressive playmakers that I think play well for this style of the NBA right now, where there's a lot of penetrating and passing out of the block area. And with a guy like Omar Sheik, who's really been impressive,
mm-hmm.
I think they got a shot at a playoff spot. I won't give them more than that, but I have been impressed.
I was really hoping we could have a little more fun with this. I wanted to buy Houston when they got James Harden. I didn't have the courage to do it. Not that I'm, you know, trying to go back and say it now, but Houston, I think they could actually be a top four team in the West.
Wow.
And I didn't have the courage to say it last week, so I'm mm-hmm. saying it now. Still want to say it early. Something about they're 2-2 right now. A really terrible loss last night. So I feel better making the projection
yeah.
instead of three games in, four games in. Harden has a little bit of FU mode. And I think Jeremy Lin, able to play as the second or third option, makes him such a much better player.
Yeah, he's played really well. I've been actually really impressed by him. I still think they're going to struggle with depth because they still play Tony Douglas, which is always a bad sign for your basketball team. And they just have guys, a lot of guys that aren't professional basketball players that they have to play. So I can't fully buy into them. For them to really do well, those guys, their core kind of three dudes
mm-hmm.
of Harden, Ashik, and Lin have to play really well. Chandler Parsons, they have some young guys that are like, they can contribute, but it's not consistent yet. And mm-hmm. that's kind of what's going to get you to a top four spot in the West right now is consistency, and they don't have it really yet.
The day-in, day-out grind of the Western Conference is not something to, like, shy away from. You know, yeah. I understand that.
Yeah.
Before we move on, Jeremy Lin, last night in a losing effort, he had 6 points, six assists, six steals. That's the kind of line, obviously not the six steals every night, but you're not going to get a whole lot more than that, but that's a lot of production.
Yeah.
That's a lot of just helping your team win. Kevin McHale, can he coach this team and make them, you know, better than they're supposed to be? He hasn't done that in the past.
No.
But why not?
Yeah.
I really have enjoyed watching this Rockets team thus far.
Yeah. I enjoy them too. I think we're both fans of them, but I'm tepidly optimistic.
That's fair enough. We're not going to talk the Lakers on this show, on this podcast. I can't do it anymore.
My question is, why not talk the Lakers? Because I feel like coming into this, this is one of the most intriguing storylines so far of the NBA season.
This is what's driving me crazy about this. I'm just hearing a lot about the Princeton's offense isn't coming through for the Lakers. The Lakers right now are fourth in offensive efficiency. Fourth in points per possession. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
In the NBA, their defense is awful. And I don't really have anything quality to say about it besides it just isn't very good.
Yeah.
But do you, we can talk about it.
I'd say the Princeton offense thing is one of my favorite parts about the NBA so far. Just because, and I agree, they've still scored a lot of points. I mean, that's going to happen because you have some of the most talented players in the NBA. But it's just so funny watching them run what they call a Princeton offense. it's not even close to that at all.
Princeton offense is supposed to be run by a little bit shorter white guys.
Right.
To get layups and three-pointers.
And you're supposed to set screens occasionally or, you know, do backdoor cuts. It's just like, it'd be like them, you know, the Heat coming out this year and be like, yeah, we're going to run the flex. We're putting in the flex this year.
I just love the idea of Mike Brown like, okay, Meta World Peace, work with me. You're going to do a sharp V cut at the elbow.
Yeah.
And then if Nash pump fakes, you're going to go backdoor. And just trying to like explain to this to an NBA player who has done this his entire life.
Right.
It just feels like you're starting over again.
What is interesting is the lack of depth at the guard position, because Steve Blake is terrible.
And $25,000 less rich after he yelled at a fan.
Yeah.
Steve Blake yelled at a fan?
Yeah. I don't believe that. I think Kobe did, and Steve Blake.
He just took the rap?
Yeah. And Darius Morris is really bad, too. I mean, they just don't have like a... they just don't have a workable point guard situation. They're struggling against the Clippers.
Nash went down in the Blazers game, and that was the one I watched the closest. Mm-hmm. And it was as if they were like, well, we'll play again later.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And to expect Steve Nash to play that long and that well all season, they got to come up with something.
They do.
Is there an option, do you think, like, Kobe's not going to handle the ball. I can't think of, like, they're going to have to trade for someone.
I think they're not going to trade for someone. I think they're going to stick with what they got. And, you know, they're really preaching the patience here, which is not something the Lakers have ever espoused before.
Or Lakers fans have ever handled.
I mean, they're going to be fine. Steve Nash is a really good basketball player. The only issue with the Princeton offense, and the way that they've run it, at least, is that he just doesn't handle the ball enough. Like, he has to handle the ball. Like, that's just how you got to play with Steve Nash.
Well, you want to take the ball out of an NBA MVP's hands as often as possible.
Yeah.
I will say I expect the Lakers to sign Derek Fisher before the season's over.
Yeah.
I think he's a free agent right now.
Yeah.
If he's not, they'll get him eventually.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about the Heat.
Mm-hmm.
The Heat have done something kind of interesting, and maybe this is just early game over jumping to conclusions, but they seem to have made a trade. The Heat won the championship last year. And in the summer, added Ray Allen and Rashard Lewis. And it seems like they're taking the minutes of what would have been Mike Miller and Udonis Haslem thus far. And it seems like they're trading three-pointers for defense.
Hmm.
Which I think is one reason why their offense looks absolutely unstoppable right now.
Yeah.
I mean, aside for the 9 minutes that LeBron didn't play in that Boston game, they look like they're going to score 130 every night.
Yeah.
And they haven't done that, but I'm saying that's what it looks like. And yet they gave up. They're giving up quite a few points. They're getting kind of beat up inside. I was watching the Nuggets. The Manimal just tore Chris Bosh up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And is that it seems like a very strange way to go about it when you win a championship and then come back with less defense.
Mm-hmm.
Will that continue, or is this just something that's 5 games in?
No, I mean, I think it's the kind of the small ball ethic that they're preaching.
That was one of the worst questions I've ever asked you. I just talked and then stopped. Now go ahead.
It's okay. But yeah, I mean, the small ball ethic is, you know, it doesn't matter who you got down low because you got LeBron James, which is very true. I mean, they're going to win a ton of games that way. But when you have athletic, you know, forwards that can penetrate and that can score down low, it's going to be really hard to, you know, to beat them. And Chris Bosh he's had a great season so far. He's just a really poor post defender. You know, he can't take a guy one-on-one.
And he's being asked to play the five.
Right.
So it's like, oh, let's take this pretty good forward defender, maybe mediocre, and let's have him guard fives.
Yeah. It's not going to happen. And that's where a team like the Lakers, or even like a team like the Jazz that has a solid,
Allen Jefferson and big bodies.
Yeah. They're going to be able to score a lot of points on them, when they're trying to shut down for those important possessions.
You know, there is a team that beat the Heat this season.
Mm-hmm.
Let's call it a surprise. The Knicks, they look great. Haven't lost a game yet.
Yeah.
Carmelo's playing the four.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna let you take the lead on this one.
Well, I supported the Knicks on this podcast last week, and I still support them. I will say they've made a gazillion threes so far this season.
No,
and that won't happen.
I think they hit 19 against the Heat.
Yep,
they did. 18 or 19, and Novak was just crushing.
It's a perfect team for MSG, for the Madison Square Garden, because they are the most orgasmic fans out there. When someone hits a three, they just freak out. And that's why it's so fun to watch them at home. But, yeah, Novak and J.R. Smith and, you know, all these guys aren't going to be playing at this pace. They got to be able to get easier baskets against when they have, you know, trouble. They're playing great so far, though. They did seriously, against the Heat, I was so impressed by their defense.
And that was very strange for me, because they had Tyson Chandler just in the middle clogging up as the five. And then Melo, Mike Woodson has him playing defense at the four.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this will last.
No.
Amari will come back. But for now, he he played really well.
Surprisingly serviceable, because he's usually really bad at that, at playing four defense.
He just gets tired of playing defense.
Yeah, yeah.
But this does, you know, to me, obviously, like, the NBA playoffs are just a different level. Maybe Melo is trying to, like, show us, like, hey, I can do this come postseason. Like, I'm not going to do it all 82 games.
Right.
But, you know, if...
Well, and that's honestly why they brought Rasheed Wallace in. And
he's playing
good.
He's playing basketball.
Yeah.
I saw him, and I was like, who's the guy that looks like Rasheed Wallace with that bald spot on top of his head?
It's Rasheed
Wallace. Oh, my goodness. It's Rasheed Wallace.
And he's played well. You can't hate him. He's, yeah. I mean, he's making his threes, and he's...
getting picked up in every fantasy league. And, they've been fun to watch. Jason Kidd looks not dead.
He looks alive. And Raymond Felton looks svelte. He's still really bad.
Stupid Raymond Felton.
He's, you know, for a guy that plays NBA basketball and is way better than I am, or ever was, or ever will be, he makes so many poor decisions. Like, per
him
capita.
Him and DeAndre Jordan are, like, competing. So, who can make the most
Except
mistakes
Raymond
per
Felton's
game.
A point guard, which is a little more important. But, yeah.
DeAndre.
Knicks, still on board.
I mean, the NBA is fun. We have a fun time with it. You and I say the word fun on this podcast more than I do with any other sport. But it really is just, it's great to have it back. And the Knicks.
It's great.
And the Knicks being good is good for the league. Brooklyn. I mean, kind of an interesting thing. They got five players, and that's it. They've been kind of fun to watch, too. And the Lakers have been an atrocity, and ESPN's going to explode.
And the Clippers are playing good.
Yeah.
They're, you know, we'll see.
Chris Paul is one of the best persons in the league.
If you think that Chris Paul is not a very likable superstar, then you've never watched the NBA before.
And you definitely can't coach basketball.
No, definitely not.
Or watch it. You shouldn't even be allowed to watch. The TV should be turned off.
So you and I are in a fantasy league together.
Yeah.
And this is my first time ever.
This is your first time ever.
I'm a first timer.
Just breaking in.
Mm-hmm.
Just get hitting the ground level running.
Yeah.
Enjoying it?
I enjoy it a lot. I found it to be frustrating at times.
Does it make you enjoy basketball more or less?
More, for sure.
Okay.
Because you're paying attention to it in different ways. You pay attention to more of the games.
You have a Toronto Raptor on your team. You're finally paying attention to a Canadian
team. Huge fan of that until recently. Kyle Lowry, who's my Toronto Raptor, playing like LeBron James for the first couple of games. Struggled recently.
You actually are really good at trading high, like when the player is like at the maximum level of...
I should have traded him for LeBron.
FA might have done that. But so I want to give our audience, you know, some fantasy musts.
Right.
So like, what you must do, what have we learned so far this season that, like, when you have a fantasy player, how do you treat a certain situation?
Yes.
I'm going to go first with one. If you have a player starting against the Golden State Warriors, do not sit this person.
Start that man.
It is a huge mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, this is a kind of a bad match. There are no bad matchups with the Golden State Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Start him.
Yeah.
Or
absolutely.
Her, if it came to that.
Like, oh, yeah, I don't know. Jared Dudley, should I start him at the Warriors? Start him.
Yes.
Center.
Start. Put him in.
Mm-hmm.
Do you got one? Do you got one for us?
Yeah, I'm looking at, you know, over some of my notes here. Mm-hmm. One thing that I've noticed so far, who is just a legitimate lock as a surprise, is Marcin Gortat.
Gortat.
He
had seven
been
blocks yesterday.
Incredible.
Yeah.
He's just been incredible. Otherworldly. Which, I mean, is surprising. I mean, I guess it's
otherworldly makes sense for him, actually. He looks like an alien.
He is quite alien-esque. I do think that, you know, he's going to probably level off at some point, but big surprise so far.
Phoenix has a fun array of basketball players' names I know.
Right,
like
right.
Michael Beasley.
Yeah.
I guess that's all I can come up with.
Shannon Brown's on their team.
Yeah, it's like, man, if they had a point guard that could truly, like, share the ball and
Dragic.
Well, no, I was thinking Steve Nash would have been great for that team.
Yeah, they should have signed him.
I don't know. Was he available this summer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I got another one for you. We talked about it a little bit. If you have a center or a power forward going against the Heat,
you got a plan.
You need to start. I didn't start the Manimal. Can you say the name for me? I know you can name
Kenneth
it.
Farid.
If you don't start him against the Heat, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Start your big man against the Heat. Let Chris Bosh and him trade buckets. Both of you will benefit.
Mm-hmm. And Sacramento, the Kings, are just an atrocious team.
We had our first triple-double in the NBA last night. It was Drummond, the Pistons center. Josh was
triple-double.
Rubbing it. He was rubbing it in my face. Yeah, it was against Sacramento.
With assists?
Yeah, 11 assists,
wow.
13 rebounds, and something over 10 points. Wow. And Norquist was watching that Detroit-Sacramento game with all his heart. One of the strangest things I've seen.
Who's got... Does he have Drummond?
He does.
Oh, congratulations to him.
Josh and Daniel are too good.
They are very good. You know, the Kings, as bad a team they are actually a great fantasy. Like, the players on their team are really good at fantasy.
Yeah.
Like, they don't put it together in a winning way, but Tyreek Evans, DeMarcus Cousins, and Marcus Thornton, it's like, those guys are gold, fantasy gold. Hmm.
Anyone listening in the league, Russell Westbrook is available. Give me a call. we're gonna change subjects here. We're going to do it twice, actually. We're going to get into movies and play our new series, which is going to just blow people away. It's going to be great. But first, the New York Jets. They're in Seattle this weekend. That's your team.
Yeah.
The New York Jets. I want you to defend them. Are you going to the game?
Going to the game.
Did you not want to go to the
game?
This
is more out of protest kind of thing. Because the team they're fielding is absolutely atrocious. Here's my question. Do you think they fly to this game? Or do you think they do a road trip?
We got to get the team together. Let's just drive out to Seattle.
Yeah, we're going to stop at some, you know, hamburger joints on the way, hang out.
They go south, they go to In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah.
Maybe on the way back, they go through.
They had a bye week, so they had time to hang out. I think they're doing a little road trip across America right now.
Do you think we'll see Tebow on Sunday?
I don't understand why we haven't seen Tebow
I don't either.
Since the second play of the season. What do you see in Sanchez?
That Bills game for Sanchez is going to be a season highlight.
Yeah.
It's just gone downhill from there.
Well, and everyone keeps pointing to, he got him to two AFC championships. He didn't do anything.
He didn't do anything
to get him to two AFC championship games. He is a incredibly he should be a journeyman NFL quarterback because he has some he can how throw is, a football.
How has Mark Sanchez not stepped into his role as Matt Leinart, the Matt Leinart of the NFL, who's still in the NFL?
Right.
But there's room for that third to second string quarterback.
I, as a UCLA fan, take a disgusting sense of joy whenever Matt Leinart still gets hurt.
he's the backup quarterback for the Raiders, and he will get hurt this season.
My favorite moment of last season in the NFL was when Matt Leinart got his first start for the Texans, and everyone was talking about his redemption story.
He was like 7-for-8, or like he had like one incompletion.
Played so good,
played so well. He goes back for a screen pass. And then Kellen Clemens went in, or...
No, it was T.J. Yates.
T.J. Yates.
Legitimately, Matt Leinart would have won a Super Bowl last year.
Yates won a playoff game. Leinart could have at least got to the Super Bowl. Schaub would have won the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, yeah.
That Texans team is so good. It was good last year.
It was incredible.
T.J. Yates.
So, I feel the same way about Sanchez now. I don't know why he hasn't got hurt yet. And the Tebow, this is Tebow's team. It's time to turn around. We're 3-5 now.
It's over.
We're staring at 3-5. It's over. It's as Shanahan would say, it's time to look at who's going to be on our team. And Tebow's going to be on our team through the end of his contract, at least.
How much more? Whatever. That's great. I'm glad that you get to watch the local telecast, though. That'll be good. You'll get to. They'll be on TV.
It'll be so exciting.
And not on national TV, so you don't have to be embarrassed.
Yeah.
Let's get into movies. We have just a really exciting time of the year that we're not going to talk about. Because we're doing something new. And Trevor, can you go ahead and just introduce this for us?
Well, the idea is we talk about sports a lot here, and one of the great genres in cinema is sports movies, which is we all have seen them, we all love them. There's some that we really love, and there's some that we love a little less. So I thought it would be fun to start going over some of the top ones ever. And we're not going to, at this point, do a formal countdown as much as we're just going to survey the breadth of, what's out there and talk about some of our favorites.
We're going to try and avoid just quoting the movie the whole time. I don't know how successful we'll be with that
today. And what I kind of want to go through is what makes a sport movie great.
Okay.
And we'll talk about those parts of this specific movie that we're gonna mention here soon. And we're gonna talk about the things that happen in every sports movie. And, this isn't just gonna be sports movies we love. In the future we're also gonna do ones that are bad. I'm looking at you, Angels in the End Zone. We're gonna be checking out all of those. So today I'm pleased to announce we're gonna be talking about one of my favorites, Cool Runnings.
Cool Runnings was on TV my entire childhood. Don't think there was a moment of the day where it wasn't available for me to watch.
I think there's a Cool Runnings channel. No, Cool Runnings,
it's
and I
like
think
ABC 6.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, yeah, Disney Channel 6 or whatever it is.
If you aren't aware of this movie, it came out
1993.
And it's about the Jamaican bobsled team from the 1988 Calgary Olympics. And it's starring John Candy and Leon and Dougie Doug. Some great people.
Besides John Candy, is there a person from this movie that was in another movie?
Leon, I think, did some movies.
Okay.
Leon's done some movies.
Okay.
And, you know, this is a movie that's very inspiring but also very funny. And it's really popular with, you know, kids and with it's
family friendly.
Our generation especially. But let's talk about just from a general human perspective, which all sports movies speak to these mm-hmm. like grander human qualities. What sticks out to you about Cool Runnings?
You know, well, the triumph story. Mm-hmm. You gotta love that because the spoiler alert, if you haven't seen this movie, you could go see the movie.
Right.
Or
we're going to be spoiling
it. What am I talking about? Go see it.
Yeah.
Just turn on your TV.
The reality is there's no spoiling it. It happened in 1988 in Calgary. You can find out exactly what happened.
I love the human triumph in defeat.
Mm-hmm.
And just the way that you can go into something and work with all your heart.
Yeah.
And pour into that, and the result isn't exactly what you expected it.
Right.
And you still come back a winner.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what this movie is all about. It's about guys that faced, you know, impossible odds, which is a classic sports movie trope.
I don't think there's a sports movie where that is not the case.
Right. And it's, you know, these guys are from Jamaica. It's ridiculous. They're going to start a bobsled team. And
it's hot in Jamaica.
Right. It's
hot.
There's
no snow.
There's a pushcar derby guy that's, you know, in the back. Sanka man. And they consult with a great American bobsledder that takes him to the distance. Now, in every sports movie, there's an inspirational moment. There's a scene, like, or a montage, or there's something where you start to feel the tingles.
The Remember the Titans moment after Strong Side, Left Side.
Right, exactly. So, what is that moment in Cool Runnings for you? What's the scene, or what's the moment where you get the tingles the most, or you really get the, you know, this is a sports movie?
Okay, besides the ending, obviously.
The slow clap,
yeah. I'm going to say it's when that mantra where they go from competitive and like they're all runners, they're all sprinters that didn't quite make it,
mm-hmm.
and they go from being competitors to being a team.
Mm-hmm.
And they change their mind. They change from there's that scene where they're like, I think they're already at Calgary and they're in the snow and they're like in the bathtub together.
Yeah.
Like hiding. I'm giving you the motions because everyone, this is a visual medium on
the
podcast.
Yeah.
And that just, it's heartwarming.
It is. It's absolutely heartwarming.
Yeah.
For me, I think there's a moment where John Candy, the coach, goes into Leon's room and he's like, hey, we're going to go grab a beer. You want to come with? And Leon's, you know, being a good, he's the captain of their bobsled crew and he's studying pictures about the turns.
Mm.
And he's like, no, I gotta study. And then he asks him, because the coach in a previous Olympics had cheated
mm-hmm.
in the bobsledding. And he asks the coach, you know, why'd you cheat? And this is where it gets to what you were talking about, that it's not about winning. It's about the, you know, getting there.
Yeah.
And his coach says, all that mattered to me was winning. That's all that mattered. And I couldn't live without it. And it really speaks to, I think, the impulsive nature of what winning does to you as an athlete. And when that's your only focus, how it can really put life out of perspective. And that's what, to me, touches me about this movie the most.
I really like when I talk to someone about Cool Runnings.
Mm-hmm.
It's designed for a little bit younger audience, for a family. But you don't ever hear people go like, "Oh, that movie's ridiculous." That's nothing like real life,
right?
When you see the movie Miracle, I'm always thinking to myself like, "This was such a great moment," and
yeah.
you're really playing it up on the movie.
Yeah,
this is a little bit over the top. I don't
yeah.
know if it was quite like this. With Cool Runnings, you know what you're getting.
Right.
And the story is genuine enough. They don't change that.
Mm-hmm.
They keep the heart of the matter light, and they keep it, like, true.
Yeah. Another thing with sports movies I think we run into is there's always an actor that gets cast that is obviously not an athlete or obviously could not do the sport that he's said to be doing.
I'm trying to think of the best example.
And like, well, you think about, I mean, examples.
Oh, Replacements.
With Keanu Reeves.
Yep, Keanu Reeves is terrible in that.
The worst.
Yeah, it's just like, obviously, they are not meant to be doing, especially when they're doing the sport itself, and it looks like, you know, this is the first time they've touched a football before. Or, you know, another big one is Adam Sandler.
Oh, in The Longest Yard?
Yeah, The Longest Yard.
I was thinking of Tommy Wiseau in The Room.
So my question is, in Cool Runnings, who is that for you?
The bad athlete. And we're excluding John Candy as a coach.
See, for me, it's John Candy. Because John Candy, they talk about his – they show pictures of him when he was young.
That's right.
And they talk about his career as a bobsledder. And it's like, I could buy it if they were like, John Candy was an Olympic shot putter. Or John Candy was, you know, he was a weightlifter. Yeah. And then he let himself go. But it's like bobsledding – you are in a sled that is, you know,
it's real
as
tiny.
Wide as a human body that is a normal-sized human body. And John Candy looks like he's about, you know.
Now, when I think of a Jamaican runner, I don't often think of, you know, Malik Yoba, the big guy.
Right.
Like, he looks like he could just beat the crap out of me.
Right.
I didn't always buy that as a runner.
Now, did you ever have a hard time with Sanka?
No, because Sanka's, he looked like that really skinny... I'm not saying he was on anything, you know, yeah. Like just really emaciated. His weight, and yet he still had the strength to downhill cart, whatever.
Push cart.
It was believable for me.
Yeah.
I could handle that. I could wrap my mind around it.
So this is the most important part, I think, about the sports movie. Because mm-hmm. I think we've broken this movie down really sufficiently.
We're not getting any farther than the
quote
running.
What is the best quote of this movie? Because every sports movie's got a great quote.
So I think the easiest one to remember... is like the song, or like what they sing? They chant before they start the
riding. Fine, try. But then they change it.
Yes. Or there's the egg.
Yes. Kiss my egg.
Kiss my lucky egg.
You dead man? Let's talk about the chant, because it goes from, Leon's watching the Swedish guys, and they say, ein, svein, drein, and Sanka makes fun of him, because he's like, if a Swedish guy saw a woman in the street, he would say, ein, svein, drein, and then go up and talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
But then the Jamaicans change it to, feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme, come on, baby, it's bobsled time. Cool Runnings!
And it's just, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
How many people do you know that just don't know what that's from? Like, that's a good, that's a very important thing.
It's very important. And there's another one, well, before this, you know what Cool Runnings, should we define what that means as they define it in the movie? It's the name of the bobsled. And
that's
they call it that because it means peace be the journey. Which is a great thing.
A silly thing for a bobsled.
Now, I think my quote that I'm going to go with mm-hmm. in the end is my favorite of this movie is when they get in a bar fight. They're at a cowboy bar Germans. He takes the guy into the bathroom. He says, "Look at yourself in the mirror.
Look at yourself.
Tell me what you see." And he says, "I see pride. I see power. I see a
bad man." And the Disney version say, bad man.
Don't take nothing from nobody. Oh my gosh.
I don't even know it as the original version. I know it as the Disney version.
Right, exactly. And then that guy, that character, who the buff guy, Malik, you're talking about, mm-hmm. he's so great because his dream in life is to go to Buckingham Palace. He wants to live in Buckingham Palace.
That's right. Yeah,
and Sanka makes fun of him because he doesn't realize what that is, that you got to be the queen to live in Buckingham Palace. But that movie is one that has a lot of, you know, general things you can connect to in cinema terms and also in sports terms. So.
Are we not in any good place to, like, recommend this or give it, like, a out of 10? Because for us, it was just from 7 to 12 or whatever, I watched it 100 times.
I just feel like you can't watch that movie. There's no scene that you can watch in that movie and not like, you know? That every scene of that movie is memorable.
When they're showing the bobsledding to all the Jamaicans.
Yeah.
And
they all leave.
Turn the lights back on and there's like one person left.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that didn't work.
Or how about when they're trying to raise money and they're just saying out there, oh, people, you know, don't believe Jamaica, right. We got a bobsled team.
Leon's kissing people and his wife shows up. It's great.
It's all great. And how sad is it the first scene when the guys get tripped up in the sprint race?
It's not good.
You know Leon was going to win that race? That man was Usain Bolt.
Totally, yeah.
He runs
it's actually what Usain Bolt would have been if he had tripped.
And this
he would have been in a bobsled.
And this is what John Candy says to him. He's like, "Your father ran the 100 meters in 10 flat." And the guy and Leon says, "I run it in 9.9. It's like that's not as fast comparatively today.
They should have projected in the future what that would have been.
Yeah,
I guess it was based on a true story that been kind of tough to do.
But you know what would be good if our listeners want to give us feedback? They can talk to us. If they want to hear us discuss, either completely bash and break down a bad sports movie, which we will do.
We can do that.
Or to talk about one of their favorites, we're going to be going over the greats.
That sounds good. You can reach us. You can check me out on Twitter at Jeff mm-hmm. Budke. You could tweet me, direct message me. Let us know. We really do want some feedback.
Right.
I'm trying to think of another way without giving too much personal information away. Jeff, thank you so much for joining
us.
I'm really excited for this new series. Please give us feedback if you can. Find us on Facebook and check us out on Twitter, and we'll go from there. We're going to be supplying the movies until you do.
We will.
So
please do.
Let's see. Basketball is going great. We're going to have you on the show a couple more times. Hopefully get Josh Norquist in here. We'll do the trifecta as well. That's been fun.
It'll be great.
Really quick, your thoughts on the new NBA ESPN countdown with Bill Simmons, Jalen Rose?
I'm a huge fan. My only worry is that they're going to take the snark out of Bill Simmons. Mm. I hope they don't. He hasn't so far.
Yeah.
He made a quip the other night to Magic Johnson about what suit he was going to wear to the NBA to represent the Lakers in the lottery. And I want him to keep that up because you could tell it got under Magic's skin a little bit.
What actually was funny, last night I watched it and Magic wasn't there. It was just Jalen Rose, Wilbon and Bill Simmons. And I loved it. I loved it so much more than when Magic is there. Because Magic, for some reason, they seem to like defect to him.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, why?
It's hard. He's a very charismatic guy.
But
he's not as interesting.
I think Jalen is very good.
I love Jalen.
I love Jalen. I would rather have had Stan Van Gundy in his place. But I'm happy with Jalen Rose there. Mm-hmm. I think Wilbon as a host is going to take some time.
Yeah.
But he'll get it.
He'll come around.
Yeah. We love TNT. All right. I think that's it.
I think that's it. Thank you kindly for having me on the podcast, Jeff.
We'll do it again. Thanks, everyone.
Peace.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening. You can read more from Jeff Budke at NorthwestSportsBeat.com or follow on Twitter at Jeff Budke.
My question is, Jeff, how long will the podcast be that we talk about Remember the Titans?
So, for those that don't know me, I have a strong love for Remember the Titans. Mm-hmm. I coached basketball at a local high school.
Yeah.
We've done this together.
Right.
If I wasn't quoting Remember the Titans, I wasn't coaching.
It wasn't a practice.
It wasn't really a good practice.
No,
You know, most people, most good coaches, I think, like yourself, coach or quote John Wooden.
Yeah.
The greats, Coach K sometimes. I just want to make you throw up a little bit in your mouth.
I did.
Boeheim.
Yeah.
It was just Coach Boone for me.
Yeah, Coach Boone.
You know, we gonna run until Petey is no longer thirsty. That, I mean, if I have a kid on my team named Petey, I'm going to explode.
All
if
right.
a kid named Petey well,
we
tries out.
We got to really ran this in because I know that if we go down this road, it's going to be, I think the podcast itself that we do about Remember the Titans will be in the 3-hour range.
It'll just be Remember the Titans. There won't be anything beforehand.
Nothing else. It'll just be Remember the Titans.
Join us for a Remember the Titans extravaganza where we watch the movie and make comments.
Yeah. On the podcast. We recommend you watch the movie alongside.
Call it a superstorm here, surprise. I should cut that out.
Yeah. Was better looking now than Bruce Willis
ever
was.
I hadn't considered that until this point. Like, and why didn't they just make Bruce Willis look a little bit more like...
Or cast someone that was a little more like JGL. Because Bruce Willis is not megawatt star anymore, you know?
That's true. You know, I've thought about that. Like, the apex of his career was, what, 10, 15 years ago now?
Yeah.
Sixth Sense was 96?
Yeah.
And I don't think about him the same way, but I still see him in a movie and go, oh, that's a big movie. That's probably not true anymore.
It's not true. But he's still a good time.